kisses the rose with a morning mist. How much more does he love you and I? If he cares for the lilies in the open field and caresses each petal with dew, if he acknowledges a tree when the winds make it kneel, takes out the tide, turns the desert from its dry, and carves out mighty rivers to the seas, just to give a little brim another place to swim. How much more does he love you and me? If he's prepared a place for all that is good, I've been told and I believe it's true. He's preparing me a place I cannot comprehend. That's how much he really loves me. How much more than a fragrant rose that he is life in the spring. That soul yet he soars on the wind. If he can speak a simple word and calm an angry wind, in peace be still, he can calm the rolling sea. And he can speak still to the storm that's within. That's how much that he really loves me. Make it speak, peace be still to the storm that's within. That's how much that he really loves me.
Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship and obey. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world
this morning.
Amen.
And let's let our musician go to his seat. God bless you for being with us this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Beautiful day. Amen. Beautiful day outside, but it's not going to end too soon. And I really enjoy the time change at this time of year. And I don't really care for it in the fall, but this one's really good because it gives us plenty of evening time fellowship. And this is evening time message, so we want plenty of evening time fellowship. So we just thank the Lord for it. And always look forward to it. Always look forward to Sunday. And being in the house of the Lord with those that I love and with those of Black Precious Faith. Just want to remember those that are out. I know that some of the young people at the meetings there, and just praise the Lord for the testimony coming back from there. Just ask that God give them traveling grace. And the different ones that are out this morning, Brother Richard and Sister Mary out. They were went to Oklahoma City last night to help my aunt move back. Or I say move back, but come back from being in the hospital with her husband there. We've had the prayer request many times, and he still needs our prayers. They do, so we are transferring him back to Fort Smith, but just ask the Lord to undertake there. He needs a miracle, and God knows what he's doing, but he does need a miracle. So just remember that. And I also remember Brother Josh Goff will be with us the last Sunday of this month. Just keep that in prayer also. If you have your Bibles, I want to go ahead and open to Isaiah chapter 60. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house this morning together with those that have a like precious faith, faith of an end time message that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, and we're just surrendering ourselves to you now and ask God that you would just touch every heart, that you would be in every aspect of everything that's said and done. God, that you would just come in the midst of your people and inhabit our praise and just receive us this morning, Lord, our praise to you. And we just ask, God, that you just find yourself to have liberty among us this morning to speak to our hearts. Go to those that are missing this morning. We ask that you just touch them also and then bring us back at the appointed time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Man, I love springtime. And even though it's not, I don't think it's officially springtime yet, but it sure feels like it. So I'll take all of it I can get. Absolutely. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about the secret place of the Most High. You know, when God says something, it needs to be interpreted. We know from so thankfulness of an end time prophet message to give us the divine interpretation of the word. And I know that stumbles people, but it's still his program. God said what he would do, and he's never broken the way he does it. And so we know that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. Right. Yeah. And we wouldn't know that if it hadn't been for the end time prophet to show us and explain that to us. Because man can say something, but you know, God's not interested in just something being a witness, because a witness could be false. But he is interested in something being a record, right? That there's no, and so the best way for God to give the interpretation of what his word is not for man to interpret it, but for God himself to interpret it by bringing it to pass. Right. And so when he brings something to pass, we have to go with it. And that's the thing that the world doesn't want to do. They don't want to go with God's interpretation of his word, but we definitely have to go with it and with what show God does there. So the reason why we say that is because when God vindicates his word, that becomes light to you and I. Amen? Right. And so when it is light, that means we can walk in it. We don't have to stumble. We're not going to be falling. It gives us the ability to navigate the day that we're in properly. And so, but what if you resist the vindication of the word? If you don't agree with it, if you don't follow God's program, and if you just push, you shove it out, then you walk in darkness. Right. So it's a real simple concept there, but So we know that Brother Branham tells us in this message called Shalom, he said, the word is light when it's vindicated. Until the word that is promised for the day is vindicated, then it's not light. It can't be. And if God said, let there be light, and no sun come into existence, then no sun, there's no sign of light. But when God said, let there be light, then there was light. When God promised a Messiah, Messiah come, then his word was fulfilled, and he was the light of the hour. When he promised Noah, and he promised the others, and on down, they was the light of the hour. And there's a light of the hour today. That's Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection, his word that's promised for this day. The works that I do, shall you do also, greater than this shall I do. Shall you do, for I go to my Father. Greater works, greater than these he did. You believe that? I believe it. He says, it seems humble. It seems like it goes over the top of the people's head. Look, when he was here on earth, how could you do greater works? The same thing, greater, he said in St. John 14:12, greater works than these shall you do. And so the thing that I want us to take away from that particular quote there is that when God vindicates his word, it becomes light to us, and we believe that. And so it gives us the ability, as I said, to operate. Brother Tim, could you turn this down just a little bit? It's kind of a distraction for me up here. It's pretty loud. It's got to be loud for y'all. It is for me. And so when God brings his word to pass, that becomes light to us, and we can walk in that. Thank you, brother. And so that was in a message called Shalom. And you know, so Shalom means it's peace, God's peace. But as Brother Ram put it, he said, Shalom means good morning. Says every good Hebrew, you know, they come to each other and they say Shalom, they say peace to you, God's peace to you. And he said it means good morning. And so he uses in this scripture we just had here just a minute ago in Isaiah chapter 60, he used that in the message Shalom. And so it seems like, you know, and what we want to do here is we want to catch the inspiration of God and what he's showing us through this prophet. And that is that when Brother Branham comes along and he's going to look at a situation, he's going to preach about the situation, he will go to a scripture that the Lord shows him applies to that. And so he wanted to share. He had the leadership of the Lord to speak to God's people in the hour that we're living in and say to them that it's Shalom. And he used this scripture, and he began to explain to us, because of the scripture said it, that gross darkness would be upon the people. Darkness upon the land, upon the people, gross darkness. But unto you, the Lord shall rise upon you and shine. And so he said, but to the believer, to the Christian, it is Shalom. And so, good morning. And so, in an hour when everything is dark, Brother Bam said, you go out and you talk to people, and they're good people, but they just can't seem to break away from the things that the world has and the things that Satan has put upon them. You talk to them, he said, they're good, decent people, but they just can't seem to get free from these things. He said, what is it? It's darkness. Darkness upon the land, gross darkness upon the people. But he said, but to you, to the bride, to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, while that's going on to them, it's darkness to them, but to you and I, to the believer, to the bride of Jesus Christ, it is Shalom.
Right.
It's a contrast. Mm-hmm. Such a contrast there. And of course, we know the word of God is a contrast, because the same word that will set you free if you receive it is the same word that condemns you if you reject it.
Yeah.
And so it is Shalom. Mm-hmm. And so, if it is Shalom, if it is good morning, that means it's a new day. Right?
Right.
We had a change of the day, and now it's a new day. It's a day that he could say good morning. And so a new day You know, when the sun rises up here, when the sun is rising here where we are at, in this part of the country, when it's rising here, it's setting somewhere else. When you and I are finding the rising of the sun and giving us the ability to rise and shine and go about our daily business, whatever it is, while that's happening to us, there's somebody else. The darkness is creeping in on them, and then for them to move about and do things, they'd be groping in darkness and stumbling and falling and not able to do anything.
Yeah.
See? Uh-huh. Now, it's God's program. God is a God of cycles. Right. He's a God of circuits and things moving in cycles, and he's a God of a program that unfolds, and he likens his gospel to light, and so when the light rose in the east and it moves westward and sets in the west, and comes to the west, an end time message, that means that darkness is coming on previous ages. Darkness is coming upon people out east because it's all moving westward.
Yeah, right.
So it is a new day, and so it's rising for us, rising for the bride of Jesus Christ. It's leaving the world where they once had light, the denominational system, the church ages, where all that, you've been through it. It's all leaving there and rising to the bride of Jesus Christ. So the light that they had has gone out.
Yeah.
Right? It's gone out. What? If they would just continue to move with the message, they'd be fine. Mm-hmm. But the light is going out to the world, going out to the church ages, and gross darkness coming up on all that, but it is shalom to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So it's rising for her. So if it is a new day, and the light is leaving the world and leaving denominations, and it's rising to you and I, what day is it? Think about it.
Yeah.
What day is it? Because there's cycles of seven, and after seven, it goes back to one again, or goes to eight. Eight, which is really the first day of the next week, if you understand. Mm-hmm. And eight being representative of eternity. So we know that after seven church ages are done, the next move takes us from time into eternity. So if it is a new day that has come, if Brother Branham was saying it's shalom to you, as the world goes into gross darkness, you don't go into gross darkness because you're believing an end time message that has come to you that is light to you.
Right.
There has been word of God for this day that has been vindicated to this day, and you see that, and that becomes light, and because of that, now you can walk and navigate in the hour that you live in. You don't have to worry about stumbling or anything like that.
Right?
Right? So, when I said a while ago that God puts an interpretation on His word, on His own word, that is the interpretation God has given us for this hour through a vindicated message, that this hour is darkness upon the world, but it is light to the bride of Jesus Christ. It is shalom. A new day. It is the rising of the sun, as we know one of the sermons is. And so it is a new day, and it is a day of not of time, not of seven church ages, not of a partial light, the candlesticks in the holy place, but it is the eternal light of the most holy place, the presence of God Himself coming down. That is the hour that we're living, leaving time and blending into eternity. Is what's happening. So if it's a new day, the light's shining upon this day, and this new day is not a day of the limitations of time and the limitations of church age doctrine and all that, but it's a new day, a day of eternal things, the light that's shining for this day. When the light rises, like this morning it rose up, it's Sunday morning, we rise up, we come to church, we have the sunlight, and as it begins to rise, we rise with it. And as it begins to rise, we rise to the occasion of the day.
Right.
So there are things for us to do for the day that we're in.
Yes.
And since it's Sunday, what we do is we come, we rise, and we go to church, and we fellowship, and we do all the things. It's like around my house on Thursday is trash day. And when it begins to become morning time, it's time to rise and take the trash down to the road so that the trash people will pick it up. See? So what I'm saying is you rise, and there is something to walk and flesh out for that day that you're in, and the rising of the sun starts and kicks off that day, kicks off that ability for you to rise out of your sleep and rise out of the things of the previous day and rise up and go forward into doing the things of that day. And since this day that we're coming into now is eternity, it's not time, it's not the limitations, and not all the things that was held humanity, but now we have come to a place where the rising of the sun has come up, and that is a call for us to rise up with it and for us to rise up and go about the business of the day, of this day, which is an eternal day.
Yeah.
Right? So it enables us to do something we couldn't do yesterday. Right? So we know that. It is the rising of the sun. So we rise to carry out the acts of life, not the acts of death.
Right.
It's the only way I know to put it. To rise up to the occasion of what God has enabled us to do.
Yep.
See? Those that darkness is upon and they just can't break free, though they be good people. They can't do it. God hasn't called them to do it. He hasn't. They're not anointed to do it, put it that way, because darkness is upon them. But there is a people on the earth that they are not bound by the limitations of that darkness.
Yeah.
They are given liberty to move forward in the light of God to do the things that God has called for us to do in this day. So there is a life for the bride of Christ to live today. And the way that happens is that he enables us to do it by making the rising of the sun, the gospel, to come to us in vindication so we can walk in that vindicated message.
Yeah.
And then while you walk in that vindicated message, now you can do the things that nobody else can do because they're in gross darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make us any better than anybody else. It just means we're blessed with eternal light
in
our midst. And we thank the Lord for it. And pray that it just brings the humility and obedience that we know that it should have with it. And so, this is the interpretation that God has put on this day. Through a vindicated voice, vindicated message, this is light.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is the rising of the sun. It is shalom. So this is God's interpretation upon this hour. And woe be it to any man, any preacher especially, that would declare it to be anything else. Woe be it to anybody to try and say that darkness is not out there. Woe be it to any man that stands in the pulpit and will not say that darkness is in those denominations, that they've left the word of God, that Christ is on the outside knocking, trying to get back in. Woe be to anybody, me and anybody else, whether they're a preacher or whatever, to let on like and act like it's not so, because it is so. But at the same time, woe be it to anybody that tries to say that light has not come to the bride, that she has not been enabled to do something that the rest cannot do. Woe be to anybody that doesn't speak it like what it is. Because God has given us that angel to follow to lead us in that pathway that we're to go, and we've got to follow that voice, that angel. And when he said darkness, then we're going to say darkness. And when he says light, shalom, I'm going to tell you this message is good morning to you. I'm going to tell you that you can walk in the things that pertain to life when the rest of the world can't. I'm going to tell you that God will do things among you that he won't do in the rest of the world because he's given you light to walk in.
Amen.
But you've got to walk in it.
Right. Yeah.
You've got to accept that. There is such a thing as somebody that wants to lay in a bed and sleep all day. And my wife will tell you, I've never been one to do that.
Right.
I don't know why, it's just not in my nature to do it. If you like to sleep in, that's fine. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just telling you that the scripture said, when night cometh, no man can work. So you might get a flashlight and go, but anybody will tell you, you know what? It ain't no flashlight as good as daylight. When it comes to doing something. So it's true. When night cometh, no man can work.
Right.
And so when the sun rises, it's time to get up and meet the occasion for the day. And if you don't rise up when the sun rises, you're losing very valuable time and opportunity.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is truth.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm just telling you a principle.
Right.
That when God says it is the rising of the sun, when he says it is shalom, I don't care what the rest of the world, let them sleep on if they want to, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll preach to them, and if they can receive it, they can come too.
Yeah.
But my point is for us, when we see that gospel, we want to rise to the occasion and walk in the life that God has provided for us. And that's what we want to do. And so, woe be to anyone who wants to say it's something different, because this is God's interpretation on it. If we see through God's eyes right now, we must see that this is shalom to you and I. If it's all doom and gloom, you're not looking through the eyes of the prophet and through the eyes of what God has told us. These days that we're in is opportunity. These signs that are all out there in the news and going on, we should look at them and say, my redemption draweth nigh. That's what we should do. And if we see that any other way, then we're falling back into intellect, falling back into our mind, falling back into the ways of woes, you know, because of, and the scripture said men's heart be fading, you know, for the looking at the things that are coming on the earth.
Yeah.
But not supposed to be that for us, not for the believer. And so we look through his eyes, we're going to see that this is shalom. And you'd say, Brother Tony, you mean while the world is falling apart, shalom? Yes. Right. While the world is falling apart, it is shalom to you and I.
Yeah.
And so, because it is a sign of his coming. And again, we want to take what the voice, the vindicated voice has said, and don't put our own thinking to that, okay? And so, the vindicated voice of this day said that whenever the darkness presses upon, he says that light presses darkness, and just when everything just seems to really, the darkness tries to really come in and really just thicken, gets so thick you can almost touch it, I guess you could say, it is because the light is approaching.
Yeah.
Now, that's what he said, so we're going to go with it, right? These things are given to us so we might properly recognize our day and see where we're at and what's going on. So he said that when this gross darkness begins to come upon the people, it's because light is approaching. It's convincing it. And so though the world is groping in darkness, we feel that darkness trying to come upon us, but it's because it is the rising of the sun. And so our deliverance is at hand. Amen. So light presses the darkness. And, you know, devils get nervous when the Lord comes in the room.
Right?
So darkness will tremble. Darkness will get worried. Darkness will try to, as you remember in the prayer lines and so forth, and Brother Ramsey's here's a woman, he say, you've got cancer. And he turned around to somebody in the audience and say, you've got the same thing, because that devil there, this one here, that's before going to be prayed for, he's calling to that one, trying to get that one to help him to accumulate unbelief in this person so that they wouldn't be delivered. Remember they were hearing that?
Right.
See? What darkness gets all swerved, starts trying to call for help, and they start banding together like an army. Let's put more troops on the border here to keep this invading light from coming. It doesn't do any good, because they're whipped anyway. But you see, that's the way it works. So it is shalom, it is peace. Now, we understand in the scriptures and from the message that Melchizedek was the king of Salem, which is interpreted as King of Peace, Jerusalem. So, Jerusalem is the city of peace. And Melchizedek, which is none other than God, who, when he met Abraham, Melchizedek is the king of that city, Jerusalem, King of Peace.
Yeah.
Right? Now, to you and I, it is shalom, it's peace. Right? It's peace, and so Melchizedek is the king of this city, Jerusalem, which is a city of peace. And this city is a place, is a dwelling place, just like any other city. When you have a city, there's people who dwell there. And it's like the church. It's not the building, but it's the character of the people that makes it. And a city, all cities have spirits. Right? All cities have spirits. And a city is usually built by those who are going to inhabit it. You understand the concept there. And so Jesus Christ is the king, right, He is the King of Peace. Melchizedek now has become Jesus Christ. He is the King of Peace. He's the King of Jerusalem. And it is a city that is built by him for his inhabitation and for you and I. And we are that city. New Jerusalem. So there is, in the natural, there was a natural Jerusalem for Israel, their city of peace. But there is a spiritual Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that comes down from above, which is the mother of us all, says the scriptures. That is the city of peace. And Jesus Christ is the king over that city. And so that city is a place for those to inhabit. And it is a place to enter in and to enjoy the spirit of that city. To enjoy the character and the commerce and everything about that city. You enter into it, and that city provides you protection, and you enter into a safety zone where you can enjoy everything about that city, which is peace. Right? So when we talk about it as shalom, I'm taking that is the rising of the sun as shalom, and it's good morning, and showing you that this city of peace, this Jerusalem, which we are, which is the bride of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, is here.
Right.
Okay? And so it comes down. The scripture said it comes down from above.
Yep.
Right? So in Galatians, when he's talking about this, Paul's talking about it, and he compares the Jerusalem on earth being in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all, is free. Talked about how the things were an allegory with Abraham's life, his life and his wife and the ones he was married to. Hagar was the natural Jerusalem on earth in bondage. But New Jerusalem from above is peace. And so it comes down from above. It comes down, and Brother Branham tells us now, and we talk about this a lot, but heaven consists of the Word. God dwells in heaven. God dwells in his word. Right? God dwells in his word. The Catholic Church wants to tell you that God dwells in his church, but God dwells in his word, and as long as his church stays with his word, God will be in his church. But when the church gets away from the word, then God's not in the church, because they've got away from the word. Because God dwells in his word. He dwells in heaven. Is heavenly places in Christ Jesus is the word. And so the scripture said that this new Jerusalem come down from above. In other words, it come from the word.
Yep.
It come from the mind of God that he spoke, and it has come down, and it's descended down from the word toward this dimension. All right? So new Jerusalem has descended down, as the scripture said. He showed John, and so John types the bride. So we as the bride should see this.
Right.
Right? Not physically seeing some city coming down. You hear years ago, oh yeah, scientists, they pointed a telescope way off out there and they see a city. How many ever heard that?
Yes.
I did. It's not a physical city.
Right, right.
They're not talking about a physical city. It is a city that's much greater than any physical city you could have here. And that city, being New Jerusalem, has a king over it, the King of Peace. And we are that city that he has built and that he can live in. And we just enter into that, and we can enjoy the benefits and the safety and the protection of that city. Does the rest of the world see it? No. It's hidden to them. It is hidden. So, it comes from the word. The peace and safety and protection and benefits of that city comes from the word. It comes from the revelation of that word. Begins to form that in us. That when that comes down and we see that revelation and we believe it, that becomes, is formed within us, and that is his in tabernacling within his bride. Him sitting on his throne, him being the king over that city, the city of peace. It is a state, we would say a state of mind, but we don't want you to, your mind to be what you go by. It's a state of revelation.
Okay. Right.
is a higher thing than what in your mind. You go beyond that into a revelation which Satan cannot come against. He can't. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But so it's like another place, but it's here. Right? It's like another place, but it's here. It's a revelation. And even if we're right here physically, if we in that real person with inside us, the real one that lives on forever, if it's caught away into that place, then you've got peace. No matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens in your own flesh, in that place, you have peace. Because you understand. And so, even though it's like it's another place, it's here. Brother Bam tells us in invisible union of the bride of Christ, he's praying at the end. He says, "Dear God, we sit solemnly now, a Thanksgiving day it is. Lord, I'm grateful, Lord, to be living in this day. This is the greatest day. This is the greatest day." I'm repeating that part. Paul the Apostle longed to see this day. The great men of old longed to see it. Their prophets longed to see it. They looked for this day. Abraham looked for this day, for he sought for a city. New Jerusalem. See? He sought for a city whose builder and maker was God. It hangs right above us tonight. That's what Brother Bram says. It hangs right above us tonight. Now, Paul, when he's back there, he says, New Jerusalem, which is above. But the prophet tells us here it hangs right above us. He gives us that sense that it's just right there. That in the book of Revelation, coming forth, it's coming down. John saw it coming down. The city of peace, the bride, right? God coming down with his word. She's going to believe that and become the inhabitation. So New Jerusalem coming down, he's enabling us. In other words, he's giving us light for this day to walk and act out what is this day. That revelation is coming down. He's giving us the ability to receive that and become that bride in this hour, which will be his habitation, a city of peace.
Right.
Amen. And so, He said, it hangs right above us tonight. And the only sense I've ever got from that when I hear that is that it's just right there. Just like it's just right here. You could almost reach up and touch it. Hangs right above us tonight. Not way off out there. It didn't make it sound like it was way off out there. Making you understand that it's here. That it's just almost ready to materialize. So it hangs right above us tonight is what he says. To live in a city, you must want to be there. And I've lived in places. I lived in Little Rock for a while, and I hated it. I hate it. I do not like being in big cities.
Yeah.
I'm okay with little bitty towns and little bitty, I don't like traffic. I don't like all that. But, the scriptures talk about woe be to those that join house to house.
Mm-hmm.
Cities. You'd be better off to be out away from everybody, because when man gets all together, then filth and sin gets all together. Right? But when you want to live in a city, if you're happy about it, it's because you enjoy that city, you like what it has to offer, you're happy with the environment that it provides, right?
Yep.
Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be living there. Unless something constrained you to be there. You had to be there because your boss, your job put you there or something like that. But typically, people will live where they want to live.
Right.
And so, in order to enter into the peace of this city or into the atmosphere of this city and to be beneficiaries of the protection of the walls of this city of Jerusalem, that you can have peace in your life and you have all the benefits, it must be that you agree with this city, that you enjoy it, that you love it, that you want to be there. Follow me? Just like any other city. And that means that if you want to be in that city, you have to obey the rules and the laws and everything of that city. So think about what this New Jerusalem consists of. You can't have opinions and ideas contrary to the city. Because if you go in, try to go into a city and start living contrary to their rules and their laws, you're going to wind up in jail.
Right.
So you see, God's not going to have somebody coming into his city that has a different idea. Man may hijack religion here below, but they'll never hijack this one. That's why Brother Rem said they can denominate all, but this will never be denominated.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the new city, Jerusalem.
Right.
And God has a vetting process. Listen, I keep saying this. We look out and listen and watch the news and see all these concepts all before us that we might understand.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God has borders. He has vetting. And we have a message that's going to make sure that if you go in there, it's because you agree with what is supposed to be there, and you're not going to be trying to do something contrary to it and destroy that city from within.
Right?
Right? That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to live there, you got to want to be there and love it and agree with it and to obey its laws and things. And I would say, if you don't, you won't be there. See, he's not going to let you be there. You'll never make it. You won't even see it if you disagree with it. If you disagree with the revelation of it and you reject it, how can you enter into something that you reject and won't entertain it? So when the message come forth to give us this revelation of this new city, Jerusalem, that is hanging right above us tonight, and we're moving into that and becoming that, if we reject that, how could we? We couldn't. See, it's all in the revelation of the word and the acceptance of that into our lives. That's the whole thing. And that becomes a secret place for you and I, a secret place of the Most High. That's why I titled it this. A place where you'll have peace while the rest of the world is burning to the ground. No matter what's going on, even in your own flesh, if it's burning to the ground, you can have peace with God because you accept the revelation of Jesus Christ, which makes you the bride, makes you the city. And amen. So once in there, it becomes your protection. You're hidden from the world. And it's a safety zone for you. And the rest of the world can't even see it. So that the world can't see it. You know, Brother M, he presents it like this. That Adam and Eve, you know, he said she was behind the 40-foot thick wall of the word when she got behind it. So if we stay behind the 40-foot thick wall of the word, he was using that. It's that you can't measure out and give some indication. You just have to use something to show the protection of being behind God's word. And if you're behind that word, the enemy, he can't go around it, under it, over it, through it. He can't do nothing. How can he get to you? How can Satan get to you and cause you to start lusting for something you shouldn't lust for if you're behind the word? He can't touch you. How could the world, under his inspiration, how could they ever get to you both spiritually or physically? How could they ever get to you and harm the real you if you're behind the word? How can they scare you if you're behind the word? See? Get behind that word. Not somebody else's opinion, but use the interpreted, vindicated word of God for this hour and go with what has been told us, and you'll find that if you stay with that, you'll have peace in your walk, and these things will not scare you, won't harm you.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
You'll have a better walk with God if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a safety zone. It is a secret place of the Most High. So if she can pull up Psalms 91, verse 1 through 10. We're almost done. We're going to get out early today unless the Lord does something. I don't do post very many things, but I really felt like sending this out this week, and I did, because it's been on my heart, you know. And I just, the Lord just kept leading me in this to read and share this morning. And so Psalms 91 says, "He that dwelleth," now we're talking about the secret place of the Most High. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You remember when Israel had to had to stop when the pillar of fire stopped, and then they had to move forward when he moved.
Right.
And if you went ahead of him, you'd get out from underneath his protection, the shadow of his wing, because he's a great eagle. And if you lag behind, see, so when you dwell in his secret place, you're always moving when he moves.
Amen.
And when he stands still, you stand still.
Right.
So you're always there. And so I will say of the Lord, now this is what happens if you abide under that shadow, right? I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. Just let me just share this the way I'm doing, preach on it as I read it, okay? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's the place I'm going to run to when coronavirus tries to come get me.
Right.
Or when the government or whatever it is going to happen, I'm going to run to this place. He's my refuge and my fortress. You know what a fortress is? I seen a picture here recently. I don't know what it was, but a castle. Man, and some of those things, you look at them, you're like, how could anybody ever get into one of those things back then?
Right.
Right? A fortress that you could just wall up inside there and just watch the enemy just perish trying to get to you, and they're not able to. That's the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
See? He is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now remember, this fortress comes from the Word. So you can't be looking at something else and saying, I'll believe in this and I'll believe in that. No, only believe what the Word says. Because anything else is a lie. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You know, they have, a few weeks ago, I seen the articles, huge swarms of locusts. How many have seen that? Overseas somewhere, several places, just absolutely. They warned that it was coming. So all this stuff, you're like, you're looking at it like, man, this is Bible time. This is stuff you read in the Bible. That's right. So we might think we get so sophisticated that we won't have no troubles, but we do. Man does. Because he can send somebody to the moon supposedly or whatever, or send something up on Mars supposedly, but yet he can't deal with a million locusts.
Yeah.
You know? Could go over there and just eradicate them, but somebody would throw a fit because you're being harmful. I don't know. Last count I had, we're supposed to have dominion over this earth.
Right.
You know what? I don't care what it is. If it's coming at me and threatening my people, I'm going to take it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? From a natural standpoint.
Right.
He shall cover thee with his feathers. Now, this is talking about wings of an eagle. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I mean, it's coming into the world both night and day.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming at him,
yep.
Right? A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now look at this. Go back to this. Thank you. So this is David speaking. And he's saying this is the protection you're going to have because you have made the Lord, which David says, which is my refuge, you've made him, which is my refuge, even the Most High, you've made him your habitation.
Right.
You've made a decision to move into him, and he is now where you that's your habitation.
Yeah.
You live in the Word. You live inside this city of peace.
Yeah.
You have moved into there, and that's the benefits that come from it. Okay, you can move. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Amen? Why are you smiling? It will not come nigh thy dwelling. Maybe she liked what I said. I don't know. I'll interrogate her later to find out why she's smiling. But there it is. Now you follow what I'm saying? You move into Christ, and He becomes your fortress. And it's Him and Him alone. So no matter what happens, no matter how many falls to your side, to your left, to your right, whatever, it's Him. He's your protection. And nothing can come nigh you. Right?
Yeah.
The only thing that could come your way would be something that comes across His desk that He chooses for you to be tested and tried with, which means He's forming character in you. Right? So anything that would come our way, God wants us to endure it to gain character and victory. But other than that, it can't come nigh your dwelling. It can't touch you. Right? It might even come to this right here if He permits it, but it can't touch you.
Yeah.
Inside you. It can't touch who you really are. Amen. So now let's go to Psalms 27. This is rapture text, part of it. He says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion." He shall hide me. You should go home and say that, "Lord, You shall hide me."
Yeah.
Right? He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. In the secret of His tabernacle. Mm-hmm. Right? And you know what a rock is? A rock's revelation. He will set you up on a rock so when all the floods are going throughout the world wiping things away, not you, because you are founded. He has set you upon a revelation that these things cannot hurt you.
Yeah.
Very, very straightforward. Mm-hmm. And we'll end by reading one more quote. Comes out of the Message Shalom. And listen to what Brother Brand says. "Shalom. God's peace be light upon you. And when God's word is vindicated in this age completely." Now listen to what he's saying. When God's word is vindicated in this age completely, and you see it and believe it, I'm going to ask you a question. Has God's word been vindicated in your day?
Amen.
Do you see it?
Right.
Really, do you see it? See, not just say, "Oh yeah, we go to a church and we believe." No, do you see this vindicated word has happened? Right? Do you see it? Do you believe it? Amen? Now listen to what he said. I'll read it again. "And when God's word is vindicated for this age completely, and you see it and believe it, shalom to you." That's it. The vindicated light word become light. Now you can walk, you can rise, you can shine, you can be everything that he has said you could be in him. You're in that protected place. And so he says, when you see it and believe it, shalom to you. And this was the first sermon he preached in 1964. He said, face the new year with this. What he just told you. If you see it and believe it, it's shalom to you. Now you take that and you go face the future with that. Follow me? You face the future with shalom. You face it with that revelation. Face the new year with this. As David said, "I put him always before me, because he is on my right hand, I shall not be moved." He is on my right hand. He's the thing that I endorse, that I put my hand to bless. He's always before me. I'm putting him before me. This revelation, what he said, what he promised, it's always before me. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
And I'm always about living a life that points to that, to him, the vindicated word of this day. I'm living for that.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to get out of that part there. Mm-hmm. So, I shall not be moved. If you meet death this year, what difference does it make? God promised he'll raise you up. If an accident kills you, what difference does it make? You have eternal life. I'll raise him up to the last days. Amen. What if anything happens? No matter what it is, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Hunger, peril, nakedness, no matter what it is, nothing can separate us from him, the love of God that is in Christ. And he is the word, Shalom. Pretty simple. Amen. He is the word, Shalom. God's peace to you. Amen. The Lord has just given so much to us. And we just really should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Yes, we have a bull's eye on our back. We know that. We just wrap ourselves up in all the promises of God's word. Because listen, outside of that, you're going to be troubled.
Yeah.
Outside of that, in this world, you have tribulation. Mm-hmm. But be of good cheer. He's overcome this world.
Amen.
There's a song I probably never will be able to sing it myself. But I've walked this road before. Or he's walked this road before. Or something like that. And it's true. You know, I took my guitar in a couple of weeks ago and I was trying to practice a song. And I just, you know, the next morning, Brother Daniel come in here and he opened service and he said, just for always remember, no matter what you're going through, he's walked that road. He has. He has walked that road before. And so since he's walked that road, since he knows how to endure a temptation, then he can help us overcome temptation. Amen. He's walked that road. So now I'm just going to say, Lord, you come down and live in me, and you walk it again in me. Sure, we'll be persecuted, tried, everything. You don't know what's going to happen before he gets us out of here. But Lord, as long as you're in me, you can walk this road again. Amen. I believe it. May the Lord bless you. Like I said, we'll get you out early today. Amen. So let's let Brother Tim come and we'll pray as he gets the song ready. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these truths that you sent our way. It's, Lord, I pray that it not become common to us, these things that you have committed to us. That we would always hold in high regard, the highest of regards, that your truth has come our way, that you sent it to us. And Lord, it's for a reason that we might flesh it out and express it in this day. And I know we all fall short of that, Lord, but it is the desire of a Christian's heart to always walk with you, that you could live in us in such a way that you could walk this road again. We thank you, Lord, for the secret place of the Most High and ask God that you just allow us to each day become more victorious, to hide ourselves away and live in the peace of that city, New Jerusalem, that we become the expression of it. We love you, Lord. We're asking, God, that you touch every heart. And anyone that would hear this in the future by way of recording or internet, we ask, God, that you would just touch their lives. And may they receive inspiration of these things and search them out to see if these things are so. And, Lord, when they find it to be true in the Scriptures that you've committed this to this day and us as your people, may they take courage and walk in it. We love you, Lord. Just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's all stand. Amen. We're not going to know what to do with the afternoon. Amen. But you know what? When you get done, you're done. Share what the Lord put on your heart and then leave it up to him.
Amen. That's right.
God bless you. Let's just sing.
Jehovah
you supply.